This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
It's Reception, the show. Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Gill, Matt Harmon here with you on Reception, Perception, the show. All right, here we are. We are getting into franchise tag mode here, Matt, where franchise tags can be applied. As we enter into this very pivotal moment in this offseason, how are you feeling, Matt?
You know, I'm feeling good. This is a little bit of kind of like as quiet as the NFL can ever get. This is sort of a quieter time. You know, we're kind of at the back end of coaching cycle news, which I know we'll talk a little bit about today. You know, there's only three offensive coordinator vacancies left: Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Denver. Of course, those three teams all have like offensive first head coaches, so we'll see how they end up kind of filling those vacancies. But really, most of the coaching stuff is kind of settled. We haven't quite got to the combine yet, which is where things really start to pick back up. So this is, again, as quiet as the NFL can get. This is about it, as quiet as it gets.
Well, you know what it is too. It's a Super Bowl hangover. You know, it's like we just completed the season and everyone is just taking a breath right now, which is much needed if you cover the NFL, because the NFL never sleeps for sure. But I did want to talk about specifically for the Chargers. How about Keenan Allen? This reportedly, maybe the Chargers could move on from the great wide receiver, 10-year vet. And Keenan could be a free agent going into this offseason. We've talked about the Chargers, I think, at length on this program. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that needs wide receivers. For them to cut a guy in Keenan Allen, boy, I tell you what, that's when I first read it, it surprised me. When I saw the money, it made sense. But golly, man, this team absolutely needs to get some receiver help.
Yeah, Daniel Popper of The Athletic, I think, is the one who's floated this out there. And the whole theory behind it is the Chargers are cap strapped, and they're also there. It's always tough when you're cap strapped and you're about to give your quarterback big money. Right. But that's sort of the point of when you have the Bengals, for example, have the seventh most cap space in the NFL, and they're staring down the Joe Burrow extension. The Eagles obviously are staring down the Jalen Hurts extension. They're not quite in the same position as the LA Chargers, but they also were just participating in the Super Bowl. So they have the 19th most cap space in the NFL. They're obviously pressed up against a little bit. They've got decisions to make. We know that. The Chargers are in a bit of a problem because a lot of their big swings haven't worked out. You know, Khalil Mack was fine, whatever. They'll probably restructure him, maybe even potentially move on from him. You also have JC Jackson. That did not work out as a free agent acquisition in year one. We'll see how that goes in year two. But that puts you in a position then, again, when you're staring down, like, we're going to have to give Justin Herbert this monster contract extension here pretty soon. Also, isn't it funny that, like, the two guys, putting Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia aside, the two guys that, like, we know need big fat quarterback extensions that are coming up and are eligible this year are Joe Burrow and the Los Angeles Chargers. And those are two of the least spendy, if you want to be nice about it. They're the least spendy, most gun-shy to hand out big money contracts, you know, to teams in the NFL. So that's pretty interesting. But, yeah, man, I mean, the Chargers are going to have to make tough decisions this offseason because they're currently $19 million over the current salary cap. So does Keenan Allen become one of these tough decisions? It's possible.
Yeah. Again, when I saw that, I was so surprised. But again, when you look at the financials, man, it does make a lot of sense. I mean, but you know, okay.
Stinks though, because he's the only guy who can get open.
Well, exactly. Right. So, okay. Look, they're obviously not going to spend, I don't think, in free agency to bring in wide receiver help. I would not imagine. Okay. Now they probably try to address this in the draft. They're probably going to try to get some speed. But boy, I think it kind of puts them under the gun. Okay. Now that being said, Keenan Allen can obviously still play. This guy is still a good player. Okay, but where does he potentially land? He all of a sudden, I would imagine, becomes a very premium name that some of these teams, wide receiver needed teams, are going to be pursuing hotly. Where would you like to see Keenan Allen go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the cap charge is a big deal, and the same thing when we talked about we posted the clip of talking about, you know, DeAndre Hopkins potentially being a trade target for the Chiefs. And the first thing that people say is like, well, they're not spending $27 million right. a year to bring in DeAndre Hopkins. This is what I think people have to wrap their minds around. Like, I don't care about like the name of these guys, right? Like DeAndre Hopkins, the name, or Keenan Allen, the name. Think about like where they are at this point in the career.
Right.
Like if somebody trades for DeAndre Hopkins, it's coming with like a salary reduction. Like these guys are not, it's not like trading for AJ Brown right. or even like Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill when theirs goes, where those guys are at this point in their career. You know, Keenan Allen's not like ancient or anything, right. but he's certainly on the back nine of his career.
Sure.
And he was dealing with nagging serious injuries, at the end of last year. And even at different points, like I don't think quite looked his best even when he was back there playing. So that's a thing in the back of your mind. But at the same time, if I'm a team like the Chicago Bears, you know, or even potentially the Giants, I know we'll talk about them in a second. These teams that are flush with cap, with resources, draft picks and money to spend, like I would at least call the Chargers before they cut him and say like, hey, what is it going to take? If I send you a fourth or a fifth round pick, and I know that sounds crazy, like Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick. Well, if you're the Chargers and you're going to have to cut this guy anyways, like, yeah, you will trade Keenan Allen for a fourth or fifth round pick.
Right.
And you could potentially trade him to a team like the Bears or the Falcons, who we talked about as a potential fit with Juju last week. Like, again, these teams that are flush with money to spend. So I don't know. I think there's a chance that, I always rag on the Ravens for, you know, just getting guys at the back end of their career.
Yeah.
I know I said last week that I'd love to see them get more of like a young yeah. kind of ascending guy, but I'd still throw the Ravens out there. Obviously they have a lot of cap space right now, but they need to account for what are they going to do with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So I don't know. I think there's a chance that like Keenan Allen might not just get straight up cut. He might end up getting traded. And again, if you're thinking of those teams that can take on his salary while also probably giving it a little bit of a reduction away from that like $21 million or $20 million yeah. that it's sitting at right now, I would nominate that. I would obviously, you're going to nominate the Bears in that discussion anytime you could do that, because they have a stupid amount of space to take guys at $97 million on the available cap space right now. This is wild. Like,
yeah.
you got to spend it on somebody, right? Absolutely. You might as well spend it on somebody who could make Justin Fields' life a little bit easier.
Yeah, just to clarify some of these numbers, this is according to SpoTrack, but Keenan Allen in 2023 would carry a $21.7 million cap hit. That is just, I think that's a non-starter. And again, I want to clarify too. I think I said sucks. He was going to be entering his age 32 year. It's actually age 31. So 2023, he will be 31 years old, but it will be his 11th season. I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. I was a little taken aback by that, because Keenan Allen is still a very good player.
I know. And it's the position that we think LA needs so much help at wide receiver.
Right.
And I know that Keenan Allen's a big name. Mike Williams is a big name. Josh Palmer had some big games here and there, or games where he got a lot of targets and stuff like that. But I think Keenan Allen's still their most valuable player because he can get open. And, you know, I think him and Justin Herbert are on such a great, they have such great timing and chemistry with each other at this point that, like, I know that at least in the previous offense, I know that Keenan Allen was allowed to do a lot of like freelancing. It's like, okay, if the route depth tells you to be at 7 yards, but you're actually at 8, but you're open, like, we're fine with that. these are guys that, like, it's more of like you can be allowed to freelance, right? These veteran route runners who are great at getting separation, and they just don't have anybody that can do that stuff. It's like, I think long term, maybe Josh Palmer would be a little bit better of like a big slot receiver, maybe than he would be as an outside guy. But I mean, good God, like, he's just not at all like where Keenan Allen is at this point as a separator, as a route runner, as a technician. And that's what may has made Keenan Allen so good and so quarterback friendly. The Chargers will definitely miss him, especially as they're transitioning to a new scheme here under Kellen Moore. Man, I don't know. I mean, I think they will obviously have to go young. They will have to obviously have to get speed at that position, right. And they'll probably have to do it in the draft because, yeah, they can't like go around and cut. They can't go Keenan Allen. They can't cut Keenan Allen and go and turn around and sign.
That would make
a receiver in the free agency. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Keenan Allen, according to reception perception data, 74.2% success rate versus man coverage. I mean, again, just far and away. The best score on the Chargers. You look at somebody like Mike Williams, he's really struggled against man, according to your data, Matt. 61.5% success rate versus man coverage. And at the end of the day, man, you just got to beat that guy across from you. And Keenan Allen is clearly that dude.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, especially on routes that are base routes, you know, NFL routes, like curls, digs, slants, stuff like that. Obviously, working inside out, Keenan Allen could do that. I think Mike Williams is a weird player because he almost, like, I think he was really, he obviously was a first-round pick. He was seventh overall pick in 2017? He went from being almost kind of dogged too much for those first few years in his career, where people thought he was like he couldn't get open at
right.
all. Like 61.5% is not one of his better scores throughout the course of his career. It's not a great score by any means.
Nope.
But we're not talking about him as like a 10th percentile separator. We're talking about him maybe in that 30th percentile type range. He's a little bit better at beating zone coverage, but his best routes are like vertical routes. You know, I mean, he's going to win on go routes. He's going to win on post routes, corner routes, stuff like that. The occasional crossing route, the occasional slant. He's just a limited guy in terms of where he can get separation. His big stuff is winning downfield and winning in contested situations. But that, again, I would ask the question to people like, who is the number one receiver in the NFL that struggles to get separation? Like, I don't think there is that guy. Like, those guys are always number twos. Those, like, you know, you try to run your passing game through a player like that, it causes a lot of problems, despite how much production they might put up, stuff like that. Think about a Kenny Galladay type. Think about like a, you know, Devontae Parker type, the Cortland Suttons of the world. Like, these guys just don't end up becoming legit number one receivers. And I think that's kind of where Mike Williams has topped out at being a really good number two. But I think after he had that big season in 2021, a lot of people, especially fantasy players, kind of overrated Mike Williams. So he's one of these guys that throughout the course of his career, I think has been a little bit underrated to a little bit overrated to now. Again, I think he's a really quality starting NFL receiver, but he's not a number one. Josh Palmer, I don't think has a future as a number one. I think he's like more of a three. So, and maybe not even like a great three or anything like that. So they have a big problem there where if they lose Keenan Allen, who's the problem with this wide receiver core was already a lack of separation. That problem becomes even more glaring. And like, I think wide receiver then becomes the biggest need on the team potentially. If you lose Keenan Allen, like how are we, and you still don't have a great offensive line. So how are we running a successful passing game here in Los Angeles without Keenan Allen? I'm not sure.
Yeah. To your point, Joshua Palmer, you've graded out in terms of 2021 season data, not favorably, Matt. 54.4% success rate versus man, 68% success rate versus zone coverage, both very below league average. As a matter of fact, when you kind of look at it like a player comparison, I guess he's a little bit worse off than, like, let's say like an Alan Lazard. I think that's probably what we're talking about here, which is, again, and I don't think anyone's confusing Alan Lazard to be a potential superstar here or a number one. He's just a again, a person that, you know, Aaron Rodgers trusted, and somebody that that Packers offense relied on as a, you know, as a number two, I guess would be probably a fair assessment of where he's at.
That's a great player comparison, like an Alan Lazard type, because, you know, Lazard had 100 targets this year, 788 yards, six touchdowns. He had eight touchdowns the year prior. And then you look at Josh Palmer this past year, you know, it's not that dissimilar, right? Where he had some big games, 107 targets,
right,
769 yards, three touchdowns. But I think people probably hold more optimism for a guy like Josh Palmer because he was in his second season.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like guys don't get better, but guys also some like they are who they are. And there's only, for the most part, there's only so much room to grow a skill set. Like, yeah, he's definitely going to get better at certain parts of the game. You know, Alan Lazard is a guy who got better from his first year where he was an undrafted free agent and did nothing to eventually growing into being a really high quality role player,
right,
for the Green Bay Packers. But did he fundamentally change as a player from year one to from in terms of what he does and his best strengths? Like, I think you get your strength stronger. Mm-hmm. You don't suddenly make your weaknesses strengths. And I think that's like a guy like Lazard, like he continued to kind of hone those strengths that he had in his game as a guy that was like reliable, had good hands, you know, was a really good blocker. I know that's like damning with faint praise there as a, as a receiver, when you say the guy's a really good blocker,
right,
but it matters. He's a pretty good football player, but like you probably want him to be your three. And I think that's probably a really good comparison for Josh Palmer, who I think probably should be a team's three, not necessarily like, all right, he's the guy that we drafted in our second season, or he's the guy that we drafted. He's coming into his third season. Let's promote him. I still think that would lead to problems in your passing game if you do that with the Chargers.
Well, and plus, I think when you're taking a look at upside for any athlete inside the NFL, you do have to look at measurables, right? Like, can he just start to become, forget about the tactician part, right? Like, yeah, you can improve on that, but what's his ceiling as an athlete, right? And Joshua Palmer is a very much an average athlete, right? Ran a 4.5 240, 34 inch vertical. So again, the upside to me when you're talking about Joshua Palmer, he looks more of like, if he's going to cap out somewhere in fantasy land, it's going to be because of volume. I just don't think he's going to be that guy that is just, you know, one of the certified, you know, number ones in the NFL. All right. You mentioned the Giants there as being.
One more thing on this. And I think this is important. Like, because you're going to see, you know, let's say Keenan Allen gets cut. You're going to see these like threads on Twitter. It's like Josh Palmer had this many games with double digit targets, stuff like that, like wheels up, rocket emojis, you know, shit like that. You're going to see that on the internet. Like, wheels, I get up. It. There were these games where, you know, Josh Palmer had these targets. Yeah. Like, let's think about this. Denver Broncos, they beat the Denver Broncos in overtime. Remember that game? 19-16. Josh Palmer had 12 targets. The offense stinks. The Atlanta Falcons, they barely beat the Falcons. Josh Palmer, 10 targets, 106 yards. That's great, but they barely beat the freaking Falcons, who can't stop anything on defense.
Right.
Lost the Kansas City Chiefs, but you know, not that this was a big bad game or anything. 27-30, fine. 10 targets for Josh Palmer in that game. They lose to the Raiders, 20-27. Josh Palmer has 11 targets for 60 yards. Like, the offense stunk when Palmer was getting a lot of those targets, or at least was certainly underperforming expectations despite having really good quarterback play in Justin Herbert. I think I always want to caution people, you know, at sort of extrapolating those things. Like, yeah, I do. Overall, I do believe like targets are earned, all that stuff. You know, a guy like Deontay Johnson, I've talked about that. Targets are earned. There's a reason he's getting those targets. But when guys are falling into targets because of injuries and the offense still stinks despite having really good quarterback play in Justin Herbert, that's not good. That's not a good three-way combination.
Well, I think what you're hinting at is that, well, first of all, look, there's going to be a new coordinator in town, okay? So who knows where these guys fit into the puzzle pieces, right? But I think to what you're saying is that at least suggests that, you know, if there is an infusion of talent, maybe Joshua Palmer could be left on the wayside. And I think that's probably pretty accurate as well. Okay. So now
find number three, that's it. But that's not the, that's not the, that's not the, that's probably about the best we're looking at.
No, yeah, I mean, and again, whether we're talking about real life, and I know on this podcast in particular, we really kind of like merge those lines between, you know, real life and fantasy. But, you know, real life, if that's what, you know, he's getting, if that's commensurate with his salary, then great. You know, in fantasy, are you drafting the number three on the Chargers offense? I don't know. you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I would probably say from a fantasy perspective, better best ball player than he is in a redraft or dynasty setting, at least in my opinion.